Hi, I'm Elise.
I'm Matt, and welcome to Pod Race, a Star Trek Deep Space Nine podcast. If this is your first time joining us, we're two friends watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine and sharing both our deep and irreverent thoughts on our favorite Star Trek series.
This week, we're talking about Season 5, Episode 22, Children of Time. Teleplay by Renee Echeverria and directed by Alan Croker. Children of Time aired on May 5th, 1997.
This week on Deep Space Nine, while investigating a planet surrounded by a powerful energy field, the crew of the Defiant discovers their own descendants and learns that in 2 days they will crash 200 years in the past. Well, that sounds like a problem.
Bananas.
Is that what happened to the Defiant? It slipped on a banana peel and that's why it crashed?
Yes, it was a Mario Kart session.
Yeah. Man. It's those bananas. They'll get ya. All right, Elise. Did you or did you not remember this episode?
I think that I memory holds this episode. Nothing about this was familiar. Like, I remembered 0% of this episode.
You didn't even remember Zaddy Odo?
Nope, I didn't even remember Zaddy Odo. I really, really remembered absolutely none of this. None of it sounded familiar. None of it looked familiar. The plot sound like I did just none of it.
Because like sometimes it'll be like, oh, I don't think I remember somebody. Like you'll remember the B plot or parts of right. the A plot or certain scenes. Yeah, but
this is the first episode I think I fully remember none of it. Like part of, I'm kidding, but part of me is like, did I watch this before? I mean, I'm sure I did.
Yeah. Interesting.
I was just gonna say that I read that this episode was on several lists of like best of, I don't remember if it was best of Trek or, but I mean it was from like Screen Rant or something, so you know, grain of salt. Best episode or like most romantic episode, and I just like, or one of the most romantic episodes, and I'm just like, this did not work for me. I thought that the vibes were completely off for this entire episode. Everyone was acting weird. I felt mostly uncomfortable that everyone was acting as if Miles was weird for not embracing the circumstances they were under.
Yeah.
Like, you told him he married someone and had, like, a new family, and there's a bunch of Mollies running around on the planet, and he's supposed to be, like, cool with it? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, the romance thing, like... I don't know. I don't think it's particularly romantic, and I don't know if the episode even wants us to think that. Like,
yeah, like I think...
get that it's this grand gesture that Zaddy Odo, we'll workshop that as we record for more. Is like supposed to be romantic, but I think it's mostly just selfish.
Yeah, it's very selfish.
And, like, I totally get in a situation like that, were it possible, that, like, you know, Miles eventually, you know, moving on and building, like, a life because he's trapped in the past and everything else. But, like, you're right. He seems to be the only one that's actually, like, interested in taking things head on and actually, like, thinking about what this means instead of it being, like, a fait accompli. Like, you know?
I don't know. It's just, I think even Renee wasn't pleased that Odo made that choice in the episode.
Yeah.
This was a quote from him. He allows an entire civilization to just disappear in a blink. He could rationalize it because of his love, but it's a big thing. It's tricky. I'm not sure about it. I'm still not sure about it or what kind of message it sent to the audience.
Yeah, and I was reading too, Nana didn't really love this episode either.
Yeah, she's on record as, like, not wanting her and Odo to have a romance, I think.
Yeah.
It was from that perspective. Yeah,
and I think that was more her, you're right, I think that was more her lens into it. But, yeah, I don't know, man. The whole, like, Kira and Odo thing, it...
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
No. You say your thing, and then I was going to do a transition.
No, yeah. I don't know. It's like, it's just one of those things that, like...
Just one of those things.
And it's part of Deep Space Nine, and, like, I'm not, like, morally, like, opposed and, like, I absolutely hate and despise this. But also, like, it's kind of, like, my feelings about it. It's like, you know when, like, you walk into a room and, like, you get a whiff of, like, rotten fruit or, like, someone had just farted? You kind of make that noise. That, like, scrunch up your face as the smell gets into your nostrils.
Oh, it smells like farts in here, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. That's my reaction to the Kira and Odo thing. I make that face. My nose gets... I have the smell face, and then it dissipates, and I move on, because it is what it is.
Not the romance part, but, like, conceptually, I do find that the concept of this episode is interesting. I just don't I don't love that part of it. So I was reading also, speaking of romance, I was rewriting why the writers kind of broke up Kira and Shikar. It was mostly because of budgetary issues, and, like, the actor really wasn't able to, like, give them more time, which, like, you know, he was off doing other things probably. So they just, like, decided to have, like, an off-screen breakup. What?
He was busy in the Ghost Candle because it's the same actor.
Oh, I totally, totally forgot about that.
Haunting the Howard women.
I love Sub Rosa so much.
I should rewatch that today when I fold my laundry.
I have to fold my laundry too, and I was debating what to watch, but I think I'm going to watch Die Hard 2.
There you go. I've only seen one Die Hard.
Die Hard 2 is wonderful, and I mean, it is kind of like not very dissimilar from the first one, but it takes place at an airport. And if nothing else, it's a fun commentary on how our airport security has changed post 9/11 because shit's real lax in this movie.
I was gonna say, you can what's that Taron Egerton like?
Oh, I'm laughing that you brought that up because that is the exact line of why I was like, I need to rewatch Die Hard 2, because I watched Carry On and that movie was shit. And I was like, Die Hard 2 did this better. So it's not the same exact plot or anything. It's just like a terrorist thing at an airport.
An airport? Yeah.
Also,
breaking Kieran Shakar up off screen. Again, I get it. Production, most Star Trek.
Because she and Burrell or whatever. Did Burrell get killed? Is that what happened?
Yeah, he died. Yeah, he died. Kywin was trying to keep him alive for, like, the peace treaty with Cardassia. And, she ran him into the ground, and then she got to be. But, yeah, I guess if you want a love interest for Kira that doesn't have the personality of a potato, speaking of Burrell, you gotta
unjammed piece of toast. I will never forget my descriptor for him.
And then you gotta pay, and I guess they decided they didn't want to pay. as is their prerogative. But also the Shikar thing was always, like, I didn't really like that either.
Man, it was fine. Like, he was interesting
Kira,
at first.
Like, romantic interests. Yeah.
Also, this was the final Deep Space Nine episode that did not have any scenes on the station. So, like, every episode going forward will have at least some scene on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really, like, think of it that way, because, like, the Defiance, one of the standing sets. But, yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I true. Do... I didn't, like, just know that. I did read that.
And then I think, too, like, don't quote me, but from when I was doing my research before the episode, I think this also might be the last episode in the Gamma Quadrant until the, like, late in Season 7, whether it's the finale or things like that. Like, we become pretty, like, Alpha Quadrant heavy going forward, so that's kind of interesting.
I don't remember that, but based on the beginning of Season 6, I think that makes sense. This episode doesn't have a ton of plot points, really. I think it's more about, like, the decisions that are being made, but I did want to talk a little bit, or elaborate a little bit on the summary earlier. The crew's investigating a planet, as the summary mentioned, and they learn that in 2 days they're going to crash 200 years in the past, but the planet that they're on, that they're investigating, are their descendants. So this is the planet that they crashed on 200 years ago. And I think it's really interesting that their descendants tell them what happened, because now that is kind of what causes the Defiant crew to have to decide whether to prevent the crash that's supposedly going to happen, which would cease the 8,000 people living on this planet, or they go through with the crash and Kira dies of some disease in a few weeks. And apparently the Defiant was unable to call for help because it's 200 years ago and the wormhole wasn't discovered yet.
Yeah.
I do want to think about what would happen if their descendants... Because, I mean, they did show up on this planet and were like, why are there a lot of humans here? That's weird. In the Gamma Quadrant. and it's interesting. Like, what would have happened if their descendants didn't tell them and they just, like, went on their... Like, would the crash have just happened as it was supposed to happen, I guess? There's a lot of funny things in this. Like, current Odo has to go into stasis so that we can, like, see a future Odo, I guess.
Renee can't be in two places at once for an entire episode.
Exactly. So. It would be too much problems with, like, having to do... Like, the makeup would have probably gotten the makeup? Annoying.
Yeah.
So basically, the ultimate question is, do we cease 8,000 people from existing, or does Kira die?
These 8,000 people ever technically exist? Like, is them erasing,
it's really
them not
confusing.
Existing the same as killing them?
Well, that's why I'm trying not to use the word kill so much, because...
Yeah,
I'm
I know. Like, that's...
They're not going to feel it. It's not going to be, like, in pain or whatever.
Well, and this is where, dear listeners, why we podcast so we can make our heads hurt is...
The planet is weird, has some weird vibes, as I mentioned early. There's a lot of Mollies running around, apparently. Miles, after 20 years of being on the planet, Miles remarried to some Tenenbaum, some ensign that was on the Defiant.
Yeah.
And there's a descendant of theirs named Miranda O'Brien. She seems to be one of, like, the not the elders, but, like, one of the leaders of this group. There's also a group of Klingon followers, but they're of different species. Like, they're not all Klingon, because Worf was the only Klingon to land on this planet. And I don't, you know, so some of them are probably part Klingon. Mm-hmm. And they're all, like, hunters, and they call themselves the Sons of Moog. And it's really... I thought they were kind of cute, actually, like, conceptually, that he has, like, a little following. Benjamin had, like, a great-great-grandkid. I don't remember how many greats were said, but that was one fucking cute-ass baby. and there is a future Dax named Yedrin Dax, who is definitely, like, the person in charge here. He has made it his own mission to keep everyone safe. It's really... I did giggle at when they were giving our friends a tour of the, I guess colony is probably a good word to use.
Yeah.
And Jadzia, like, in the past, had created a like a learning program for the children that started being born, and it was like Quark teaching math to children, like, based on, like, stuff he would know from, like, running a business. I found that really funny. When we were watching it on Friday night, one of my friends was like, did Quark give permission for his AI likeness? Which I found really funny.
Well, certainly not.
Yes, exactly.
When it was made, he wasn't born yet.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's... She used his, like, the way, like, his... a picture of him from, like, the Defiance records or something.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, I was he couldn't have given his permission. He wasn't alive yet, or was
That's
he?
True.
Because this is where my brain breaks, where it's like...
Yeah, but if you know he exists...
Do these people only exist for, like, the duration of the Defiant being crashed there before it left? Like, where it's
I get what you're saying.
Did they actually live that 200 years, or was
right,
that
right, that's
like,
a good question.
Time.
That is a very good question. Like, did they just, like, yes. Yes, all of
we
this.
We need the TVA. We need to know what the sacred timeline is.
I
just
know,
fix
exactly.
Shit.
I really liked Loki season 2, side note. It's also very interesting that the crew gets treated as legends, since technically they started this population. The inhabitants talk to them in a very familiar way when they, I mean, they don't call Kira Norris or anything, but, like, because Yedrin Dax has Curzon and Jadzia's memories, yeah. Like, he talks to Benjamin, like, the same way Jadzia talked to Benjamin in, like, early season one, where it was, like, they knew each other. Mm-hmm. He called, you know, Ben called him old man by the end of the episode, which felt, like, wild to me. That Sisko's behavior in this episode felt, I don't mean around the decision of what to do. I mean, just learning about this felt very off. I think that's the part that was off to me, because he acted as if it was, like, so normal, or not normal, but, like, so, like, oh, yeah, we're in space. This shit happens, which is, like, true, you know. It's Star Trek. Shit happens. But, like, he just, it was just felt weird, because they just know so much about these people. And I did get amusement when Yedrin was, like, trying to prove to Sisko that it was Dax, that it was, like, the Dax symbiont. And he starts, like, talking about, like, that one event that only Curzon would know that gets hinted in the episode where, like, we kind of meet Curzon previous. Or, like, at least facets, the episode of Facets.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of another word that's not interesting. As a bit of a crutch this way. I do like the idea of the crew being these kind of living legend folk hero Jebediah Springfields of the colony. What is unique in terms of, like, what I would imagine the culture of that colony to be is, like, okay, you have these revered figures of 200 years ago from the Gaia colony's perspective, and then you have the Dax symbiote who's lived there that whole time,
yep,
who was one of these legends in a way, yep. And you literally have Odo there too, so it's like they're talking about the crew like they're these revered figures or, like, Bible characters almost, and yet you have some of those walking around with you, and that's just normal. It just, yeah,
I rewatched The Lord of the Rings on New Year's Day, and it kind of makes me wonder if, like, Odo sat around and, like how Gandalf tells, like, all the hobbits, like, the story of, I'm sorry, how Bilbo tells the hobbit, the young, like, hobbit children about his adventures when he was younger. Is Odo telling, like, legends to the kids about, like, his time on Deep Space Nine with all of the founding inhabitants of this planet?
I feel like he probably just spends most of his time pining at Kira's grave.
I felt like, okay, so, you know, Odo's been alive this whole time, because of his makeup, he doesn't die, like, of old age the same way humans would, because obviously we've seen you can kill changelings, but it's interesting, like, this felt like a Hawaiian shirt version of Odo, like, he was, like, so chill, and he finally, yeah, like, learned how to be emotionally intelligent and, like, say his feelings. I do think, like, he kind of threw it at Kira without, like, letting her settle into the whole situation of what was happening, because Kira is finding out that she's about to die. So, like, that's a lot to handle. And for Odo, he hasn't seen her in 200 years. So he's like, I have to tell you immediately. And I get both of those. Like, I get that desire to, you were in love with this person and you finally see them again after you thought they were dead, and you want to tell them, you want the rest of your life to start right now. Like, I get that. But I also feel like she is probably severely overwhelmed in this moment with all of the information coming at her. We do learn that Odo is actually able to shapeshift more accurately. You know, like, his face doesn't look as smooth as it does in current times. It was, like, a good way to differentiate the two Odos. He's able to...
Regular Odo and Zaddy Odo.
Yes, and he's able to hold his shape a bit longer as well.
It's interesting how Odo, just generally, not just Zaddy Odo, but, like, because he's played by a man of a certain age in Renee, we read him that way. But really, we don't know how regular, a whole old regular flavor, I say Yoda.
I know. I heard you about to say that. I thought you were going to say Yodo, actually.
So it's like, okay, the founder sent out the, like, baby changelings. But, like, how old is, like, Odo really? So it's the idea, like, did he need this? And, like, at what rate, like the Yoda species, like Grogu himself.
Aw, baby Grogu.
Like, how fast do they age? Because, like, maybe now 200 years old Odo actually is, like, adult Odo, and maybe he's just an angsty teenager or something, like, right now, or like a toddler.
That'd be really funny, like a 50-year-old baby, like Grogu.
Yeah, exactly. He's emotionally intelligent and mature enough to, like, be able to, like, vocalize these feelings. I just, like, what?
I don't think he's mindful. I don't think he's being mindful.
Okay, there we go. There we go. Okay.
I think he's become intelligent about his own feelings. I don't think he is thoughtful or mindful or anything like that.
Okay. So, I like that. Yeah, it's not really an emotional intelligence thing as much as, like, or like an empath intelligence thing. Yeah. Okay, cool. He's intelligent enough about his own feelings. I like that. That makes sense.
It does.
Because it is kind of selfish the way it's like he just dumps on her like that, right?
Like, if she was staying there for a long, like, if they decided to just all settle there, like, maybe tell her in like a month or two. So Yedrin Dax tells Sisko that he believes that he can come up with a solution where both the Defiant crew can go back to Deep Space Nine safely and the 8,000 people do not have to cease to exist. But he is lying. He fakes some logs to make it seem like it would work. But everything, all the research shows, if they skirt the crash, these people will cease to exist. And that there's the option is, do you crash as originally as what happened, or do you try to fix it? And it's interesting because Kira is the one person that is definitely going to die if they do crash. Some energy hit her and fucked up some neural pathways or whatever. I don't know, gibberish. And because the Defiant doesn't have the same sick bay as Deep Space Nine does, they just did not, Julian just did not have enough tech, like, things to save her or fix it. And she doesn't think that they should, quote unquote, kill this population. She's pretty much accepted that she's going to die. And I think it's interesting. And I agree. I understand that Kira is accepting of this, but she's not the only person that's affected by this situation. I keep thinking back to, Ben is never going to see Jake again. Miles is never going to see Keiko, Molly, or Yoshi again. Like, these people have families, and, like, it's not just Kira's decision to make. It's a decision everyone has to make together. I think Kira's a little preachy at one point that it bothers me. Like, when she tries to convince, like, Miles that this is what they should do. I appreciated that Miles, like, I don't believe in your prophets. Like, don't throw your religion at me, lady.
Kira? Preachy? Never.
Yeah. And, like, I do also think it's weird because I feel like, in reality, like, Kira would also be really devastated if she never saw Yoshi again. Like, that doesn't even get mentioned. Mm-hmm. And someone who she's, like, sees as her family, you know what I mean? But the crew does decide to go through with the crash. Jadzia gets the, like, route coordinates and just has to, like, upload them to their computer. And I guess Sisko makes everyone send, like, death messages to their families. Like, sorry, I wasn't there to die in front of you.
Don't worry, I'm alive in the past with my new family.
In 1885. Back to the Future 3 rules.
Yes, the letter at the end of Back to the Future 2.
Yes, exactly.
Do, 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 do.
I just love the pouring rain, and they, like, the Western Union guys had, like, a bet on whether Marty McFly would be there or not. And it's really, so it's just very interesting that they choose to do what they think is the right thing. I don't know how they roped Miles into this, but eventually they're doing it. And unfortunately, someone changed their flight plans so that they would not crash. They don't seem to know who it is. Immediately, I was like, future Odo did this shit for Kira. Like, very, like, it immediately was obvious to me that that's what happened. And they go back to look at what is, or they scan the planet, and that entire settlement is gone. Doesn't exist.
It never existed. It was all a dream. Are those people even real? They had a history, or seemed to. But really, in our reality, the timeline always had the Defiant not crash forever. Is history even real? Doesn't matter. Did these people ever truly exist in any real, meaningful way? Time travel. Makes my head hurt.
I thought this was where the episode was going to end, with, like, Dax and Sisko kind of, like, chatting about what happened without knowing who did it. And we get one more scene at the end where current Odo comes out of stasis to see Kira and admits that future Odo came to visit him and linked with him. So Odo knows everything that has happened. And I did not get into this already because the romance part is interesting. There is a scene where Kira and Odo are hanging out. Future Odo are hanging out and they kiss. I can't believe
I skipped. Yeah, he's zaddy. I get it.
Yeah. So current Odo knows that Kira kissed future Odo. And future Odo admitted to
so jealous.
Current Odo that he is the one that changed the flight plan so Kira could live because he loved her. And I just feel so bad for Kira in this moment because that is so much to put on a person. Like, I would feel like complete shit if I was her, even if I was on the side of, like, maybe those people never existed. It's just,
it's really
hard to know something existed and then know it doesn't exist. Like, if they didn't know about it, it would just be another, like, fine. But I just hope that Kira doesn't continue to, like, take it out on current Odo. But I have a feeling this is something that never gets mentioned again. But I don't remember fully. Because current Odo is not the Odo that did this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just... are these people less real than, like, sentient holograms? Time travel makes my head hurt.
If you're into sentient holograms, you should watch Star Trek Prodigy. Side note.
I'm, like, so behind on that. I haven't watched Lower Decks yet. I'm a fake fan.
Oh, my God. Lower Decks was so
good. The last season of Lower Decks, but...
Yeah, it was so good. I knew you meant the last season. It was a really, really good season. And did I tell you... Can we have a quick Lower Decks corner? Did I tell you about the graphic novel called Warp Your Own Way?
We definitely did, because after we recorded recently, I went out and bought it. I just haven't read it yet.
Oh, I finally read it. Actually, my whole household read it. It was delightful. I absolutely loved it. Mariner is the main character in it. And it's wonderful. I read, like, all of the choices that you can make. But it's really, it was really good. I will just say one thing. You will need a calculator at some point.
Oh, geez. Come on, Ryan North. I don't want to do math.
It's like two math problems. You'll be fine. And it's fun, and I had a great time. I would read it again.
Did you just talk to me?
It would be
like
really
the rest
good.
Of the crew talk to O'Brien?
It would.
Just kidding.
I love that you're comparing.
You'll have sex with Ensign so and so.
I love that you're comparing finding out in 20 years you got married because you're stranded on a planet with needing a calculator while reading a book. I think it would work really well as, like, a two part episode or, like, a big 45 minute episode. It would have worked really nicely. The plot of it. It's really fun. I loved it.
Speaking of fun, now it's time for the Altair Water Thirst Quencher. Altair Water first being mentioned in the context of Star Trek by Dr. McCoy in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Also a possible reference to Alta from Altair 4 in the MGM big budget sci-fi movie Forbidden Planet, also called Shakespeare's The Tempest in Space. Elise, who are you thirsting for this week?
I know that some list called this the fifth most romantic episode, but I did not find it that thirsty. I will just say, as I mentioned previous, that I am proud of Odo for at least understanding that vocalizing your feelings is good, even if you do it without tact and at times that are not appropriate. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't find it particularly thirsty either.
Yeah.
Although, if you're anything like me, you're watching it and thinking about being in a similar situation, and it's like, who do I work with that in another... Anyways, we're moving on from that thought experiment.
If I was in that situation, based on the people I know, who would I marry? Now it's time for the most Star Trek thing. I love how you gave that dead air. It makes the bad joke even worse. I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. There, right? It wasn't intentional. Oh, okay.
Now it's time for the most Star Trek thing. My nominee is playing fast and loose with Star Trek's approach to time travel. Sometimes the rules are this way, sometimes they're that way. It is what it is. It doesn't matter. What about you, Elise? What's your most Star Trek thing?
Just the crew getting out of having to make a hard decision to stay alive by, like, having a different... Like, future Odo is not a character in my mind that exists for real yet. So, like, just having that future Odo do it.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I think Ira had some quotes probably in the companion or something. Excuse me. Where, like, on the original series or TNG, it would have been Yedrin, not Odo, who, like, had a change of
heart. Yeah, I had read that, too.
Has, I would say, the blood on his hands, or, you know, makes himself unexist because of his guilt and wanting to investigate the planet and crashing there or whatever. So, yeah, I do think it is an interesting choice having one of the regulars do it, but, like, also it's not really him, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, is it even... It's selfish. It can be kind of selfish choice from Odo, but is it really an ethical dilemma, or is it just like making a renegade choice in Mass Effect? They're not real people. It doesn't matter. But if it doesn't matter, why do I feel bad?
I know. That's why I'm
actually, like... some of the renegade choices are fun, but...
I have a hard time even being a renegade to, like, a shitty person that deserves it. So I get that completely. Yeah. I was thinking about how originally Yedrin was going to be the one to, like, fuck this up. But I can't even imagine an in-episode reason why that would even make sense. Because you would think he would want to continue living.
Unless he couldn't live with... Unless the symbiote couldn't live with the guilt anymore of, like... How he marooned everyone. How it How they marooned the crew originally there, right? Because it was them wanting to investigate. Everyone else wanted to go home or whatever, right? So.
Yeah. Ugh. Man. This was an episode.
It was an episode. I'm looking forward to you remembering holding it again and rewatching it again in the future.
That's the one thing about this podcast is I may not remember when every episode happens and which episodes like go with what plots, but it's really hard. Like I remember more because we took notes and talked about it and all of that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard to forget Zaddy Odo and his crimes he may or really, not have committed.
I really, really wanted him to be wearing like a Hawaiian shirt because his hair was like less taut. It was like lighter. Yeah. And I'm like, were they trying to make his hair gray? Like, I'm so confused. But it was blonde.
Then he would have been Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville Odo.
I know. It would have been great.
Swag Odo. All right. Until next time, Elise, where can folks find more of you on the internet?
You can find me on Blue Sky, Letterboxd, and Storygraph at Chicken Tendi. That's T-E-N-D-I. You can find link links to my other podcast, Fangbangers Pod, on Blue Sky and Instagram at Fangbangers Pod. That's bangers with a Z or Z.
Awesome. And you can find me on Blue Sky and Letterboxd at Maddie Hugh, MattyHugh. You can catch us together on Blue Sky and Instagram at Pod Race, and you can email us at podrace@gmail.com.
Please remember to rate and review us on the podcatching system of your choice. Thank you again to our editor, Melissa, and to DJ Empirical for our interstellar theme song.
And until next time, computer and program.
Bye.